Blog Talk Radio.
Tactical news incoming!
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Betting Window on the Nerdport Network. I am your host, Stefan Ronnie, and with me, as always,
Zombie Master
and
Captain Stunt Doc.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
That's right. If this is your first time on the show, welcome, welcome. Come inside, come inside. And if you're new to this, this is where we dive into the good, the bad, and the what the fuck was that in the wide world of sports and sports betting. Boy, now we got a lot to talk about. Not really. It's football, baseball. That's it. And really, when it comes to baseball, nobody gives a shit.
Nah, I've pretty much given. I gave up on the season in July, but that's me.
And maybe some hockey. Who the hell knows?
About the hockey?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're literally a month. We're literally 10 to 15 days away from the season beginning. Ugh. All right, let's dive into baseball. Really, the biggest news of the week is Shohei Ohtani ended up getting elbow surgery.
Yeah, Tommy John, he had the surgery.
Let me double check to make sure it's actually the PCL surgery. And not is that because he's had inflammation in his elbow. Okay, there we go. Yep, two-way superstar elbow injury undergoes surgery Tuesday. Is not expected to pitch until 2025.
So he says.
But he will be healthy enough to hit next season, come opening day.
Yeah, but who will he be hitting for? That's the million-dollar question.
Well, here's the thing. If he comes back, do you see him taking a one-year deal just to get through that 1 year and then hit the market again as a two-way player?
No.
Yeah, two-way.
No, I think he's going to – I think he wants to get this one and done because this might be – I mean, it very well could be the final contract he signs. Because if he gets a long-term deal, it could be a 6-7 year contract. You know, so who knows?
You know how it goes, my man.
Well, I mean, okay, that must be my TV. Hold on, let me turn it off.
All right. So I'm just going to sit here and talk to myself for a minute. Before they come back, Maui, they have a direct energy weapon.
What has a direct weapon?
What?
What has Nothing. A weapon?
Nothing. It was between me and the listeners. You walked away. You missed it.
Yeah, well, I can always go back and hear the replay, bitch.
The only way you're going to hear it. Yeah.
So, I hear arguing in the background.
Uh-oh.
Trouble in paradise?
You might hear a homicide.
I heard him say sorry, so What did he? We got to ask him what he screwed up when he gets back.
Oh, absolutely.
Fucking asshole!
Oh, she is mad. I've heard D. I haven't heard D that mad in a while. Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
What did you do?
And we are live.
What did you do?
Don't worry, we were doing running commentary.
We can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
so
what'd you
do? So what'd you do?
Nothing.
You fucking asshole.
Oh, God.
And we're back.
Yeah, after that, Lady Susan of a moment. So, all right, so there are options on the table for Shohei. Back to Shohei.
Back to Shohei.
They're saying that he could sign a short-term deal. If no one's willing to take him, probably go back, stay with the A's for a year or two.
The A's?
Or the A's, the Angels. I mean, he could go to the A's. Listen, if the A's marked up the money for a two-year deal when they get put in the new stadium, I could so see him that being a fucking draw.
Yeah, but I think...
If it's literally, listen, if he's trying to get paid and it's just to see if his arm is good, why not? If they're willing to give him the money, why not?
Yeah, but here's the other thing. He wants a championship. And he ain't going to get a championship in Oakland or Los Angeles or wherever the fuck it is.
Okay, but he's not going to get a title with a freaking torn ACL, with a torn PCL either.
Oh, hell no.
ACL is or
GPA, I don't know. Who gives a fuck? But I'm saying is, even hurt right now, if no team is willing to sign him, if I'm Oakland, I pick up the call and be like, listen, play 2 years here, get himself healthy, and then go on your merry way. But those 2 years, 1 year's going to be in Vegas.
I understand what you're saying, but I just don't see it happening.
No, probably not. But what team's going to give him a 12-year deal if he's not going to – if they're trying to do a 12-year fucking $70 million a year contract, it's got to be for him as a two-way player. It can't be
– He's not getting 12 years. I can guarantee you that. He can want that till – the cows come home. He's not getting 12 years, no matter what. He's going to get 5 to 6 at most.
Cool.
Because nobody's going to want to invest that much money in a guy that may or may not pitch again.
Hence why I said the 2-year deal, just to make sure he's healthy, then he hits it again and... Then he gets it, as they like to say, then he gets his bag.
Jeets.
His gift basket.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to say it now, because once Christian's here, he doesn't want to hear anything about gift baskets.
Yeah, Jeets.
Why the fuck you think I'm saying it now, John?
Emotional damage.
Yeah.
Okay. The Dodgers are not going to give him a full length deal, especially now.
No, God no.
Nobody's going to give him a full length deal. Nobody.
So then, why doesn't he just take a 2-year deal somewhere, or 3-year deal anywhere? Prove that he's healthy. Prove that he's healthy. And then.
It's job security.
No, I guess.
He wants that term contract. That way you know, if he comes back, good for them. If he doesn't, he's still got a secure future.
Right, but you know what it is, too, and it's like...
I didn't mean to.
What's that?
I was talking to Ronnie.
Ah.
But, no, I get what you mean. Yeah, go ahead, John.
No, but it'll be, well, you know what it is. It's like, I mean, this is the second surgery he's had, right? It's the second time he's had Tommy John?
I don't know. I think this is his first Tommy John. He had a leg injury his rookie year in the bigs.
I could have sworn I thought during one of the other shows we said he had, this might have been a second time with the Tommy John. Regardless, you know, I think he's, what, 30 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, at 30 years old, he's more than likely going to bounce back, you know? It's these pitchers that have it, age 36, 37, that have Tommy John for the second time that more than likely are done. Yes, I'm speaking about you, Mr. DeGrom. I think you're done. But
I think there's a little salt in that.
Oh, there is. Oh, there's definitely a little salt in that. I ain't going to deny that.
Okay. As long as you're not going to deny it.
No, I will not deny it. I've said it on the show a million times. You know, I understand he took the money and stuff because he got the guaranteed years, but I just he could have gone about it a lot better than the way he went about it. But we're not going to get into that. But as a player, I don't want to see any player injured to the point where their career's over. But at age 36 or 37, like I think DeGrom's going to be, coming back from Tommy John at that age for a second time, chances don't look good. I'm sorry.
It's very hard.
Oh, extremely hard. I mean, Verlander had it, but that was the first time Verlander ever had it. So it was a little easier. I mean, if Verlander tomorrow tore it again, his career is done. You know, because he's, what, 40? I think, has Verlander turned 40 yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been done. He would have been done. But
so we've officially, it looks like we officially got our Cy Young winners for this year.
Which is going to be who?
Gerrit Cole in the AL with a shitty Yankee team.
Uh-huh.
And Blake's and Snell from
Blake
the Padres
Snell
with a shitty Padres team.
Ironically, both Cy Young Award winners are not on championship-level teams.
Fuck championship-level. They're not even sniffing playoff teams.
Yeah, and that's that. Usually, and the way it used to be, that the Cy Young Award winner was always on a team that was either in the World Series playoffs or had just won a title.
Well, again, you know who started that?
Who did? The Yankees.
No, the Cy Young winner not being on a championship team? Hi, DeGrom.
Yeah. Yes, he did. You know, I mean, Tom Seaver won it plenty of times, and they didn't. Yeah, I don't think that Tom. I don't know if Tom Seaver won it in '69.
Let me rephrase that too. They're not even over 500. At least the Yankees are one game over 500.
Well, the season ends as of this weekend, I think.
No.
I think Monday is the final day of the season.
No, it's not. We got till October.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I missed show. About 10 days.
We got 10 more days.
But regardless, it's like, there are still Met fans out there that think, oh, we might sniff. No, we're not getting into the playoffs. And then
we're nine out.
Where our magic number for elimination is like three.
Nine back with like 12 to go.
Yeah, that ain't happening. It just ain't happening. And you know, this season, it's over. Ryan has accepted it for his team. We've accepted it for ours. And some Yankee fans have accepted it for them. You know, we all had high hopes going into the season, and all of our hopes were dashed.
I'll say this.
It happened.
This might be the, except maybe one division, this might have been the most dull fucking Major League Baseball season ever.
I could agree with that. I would agree with that statement because It was the Braves ran away. Once the Braves took over first place, I think in May, they never relinquished it.
They clinched. The Phillies are 14 games back, and they're in second.
And the Mets are 27, I think.
26 and a half.
Close enough. But
And the Nationals are 29.
Well, at least we're not going to finish in the basement.
Listen, You ready to hear something even crazier?
What's that?
The Rockies might actually have the Rockies actually have less games behind, but they're almost like 46 wins, 56 wins, and 51 wins. Those are the three lowest teams.
What's the A's record? Have they lost 100 yet?
46 and 106.
Oh, shit. I think they might break that Mets record.
And the Royals are 51 and 102.
The Royals.
Yes, I know you hate. Yes, we all know you hate the Royals, Ryan. We know that. But
it sucks.
And apparently, according to Royals news, they've pushed back the self-imposed deadline to build a new ballpark.
They're going to actually leave Kauffman?
Wow. That or they're going to renovate it?
I would think they're going to renovate it because they've had Kauffman Stadium's been there forever.
Kauffman Stadium sucks.
I've never been. Have you ever been in Kauffman?
No, and I don't need to go to Kauffman. I didn't need to go to fucking Wrigley Field. No, it's America's largest gay bar either.
Hey. Oh, my God. I'm going to hit this ball over that fence. I'm going to hit this ball so hard and run the bases.
Okay.
Get my pretty gray uniform. It's so pretty. It's Chicago. Fuck that piece of shit.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
13 years of failure.
They call us the Cubs, but we should be the Bears.
They call us the Cubs, but we like Bears.
Yes, there it is.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, the joke wrote itself there.
Oh, of course it did.
Like, literally, generations of families were born and died between their World Series wins.
Because of a fucking goat.
No, it's because they fucking...
Because of a goat and a man named Bartman. And hello, Christian!
Hello, friends.
How you doing?
Players, they traded them off because they were fucking idiots.
Nah, man, I'm pretty good. Just glad to be back on, you know. Had some bullshit at the beginning of the week. Ronnie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yeah.
I heard.
Yeah.
Look, Ronnie, can I?
Mm. Oh, they know that you were going to say something. I told them.
Look. In all my years of doing this, I've never experienced anything like that. And, look, I know I have a little bit of a mouth on me, but when it's time to be professional, I know when to flip that switch. I think you guys know that.
Definitely.
I said it on the show, and I'll say it here. He didn't embarrass me, and he didn't embarrass Ronnie. That person just embarrassed themselves. And when I find out who it is, I may find out who they are, and I may never find out who they are. But whoever it was, they're no longer welcome on my platform because you're not going to make me look bad. You can make yourself look bad, but do it on your own platform in your own time. Don't do it on mine. And as I said on the show that day, my parents listen to this. So I don't want them thinking, this is what I'm spewing out. Image is everything. You know, I don't want people who get referred to me, and believe me, I've had a lot of referrals and recommendations over the last couple of years. I don't want people who are being referred to me hearing something like that, and they're thinking, oh, is this what he's all about? It's bad publicity for everyone. That's all I got to say.
Nope, and this is why it has been complete. And if anyone ever wants to know where that is, good luck finding it, because I wiped that shit faster than a sponge in a fucking porn factory.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
But I do want to. I do want to ask John and Ryan this question.
Go ahead,
Ronnie. I was thinking, one of these days during Monday Evening Quarterback, we merge the Nerd Zone with Monday Evening. We have John and Ryan on.
Yeah, we can do that.
I'm down.
I think that would be great.
Be fun. Yeah, I'm down.
All right, cool. But yeah, I mean, look, I'm having a blast doing this. And honestly, I can't be upset for other people's stupidity.
Nope.
Because that was.
Yeah. Oh, totally. You know, and I know, I'm just gonna say this. I don't, like I said, none of us know who it was. We all have our theories, but that's what they are, is just theories.
Yeah.
And if that person or persons involved are listening, have a nice life and don't ever come down this road again, because you won't like what you get when you come down that road. Because we're
like
all professionals.
Don't let these nice clothes fool y'all. I get real projectish.
we look after each other here.
Yeah, and honestly, John, like, is someone's life that miserable to the point that they have to go and try to bring everyone else down with them? Seriously.
I would just like to say, first off, whoever this person is, go fuck your mother. Because you're a piece of shit.
I concur with that statement, you know, and it's like,
I don't cut corners. I'm not politically correct. You're a racist piece of shit. And if I find out who you are, I just might make a trip to bring your fucking teeth back to Missouri. Fuck.
Or, Christian, let me say this. Or to quote a great line from the Warriors, I'll shove this bat so far up your ass, I'll turn you into a popsicle.
I don't need a bat. My right
teeth
home.
Hey, I'll say this, too. I have big brothers here. Trust me, I'm covered.
Like, what the fuck? You're a fucking piece of shit. I hope you're listening, because you're a fucking piece of shit.
You're real brave behind a phone line or a keyboard. Real brave.
But you know what? Ronnie and I talked about it. I told him this will be the last time that I would discuss it. I'm ready to talk.
Let's move on.
So we brought up, we were bringing up Shohei.
Okay.
Being out pretty much, he got a surgery. He will not pitch until next year.
Okay.
Or 2 years, sorry, 25. He'll be batting next year.
He claims he's going to pitch next year, but.
No, 25. He's
he
said he wanted to come back, but then that got switched to he will be batting in 24, pitching in 25.
Now, Christian, this is what we were saying before. Do you still sign him long term, or do you give him a 1 or 2 year try me deal to see if the arm is back?
I would give him a 1 or 2 year try me deal to see if the arm is back, because you don't want to throw that much money in and he keeps getting hurt like this year in and year out, because then it's going to make it seem like it's a bad investment on your part. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I wouldn't give him that. So when you say 1 or 2 years, how much money? Like 50 mil, 70 mil? What are we looking at?
I would say, because he's hitting, you do 2 years, 35 mil a year with incentives.
Yes. Like if he leads the league in home runs, he gets an incentive. If he leads the league in slugging, or he wins a batting title, you know, all these little, you know, like little add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, look, we've all said it on the show, and I don't think I'm out of turn when I say, Shohei's one of the best players to come down in baseball, in a long ass time.
Yeah, I mean, look, he is. I mean, he's the best player in the league.
You know,
because look, as great as Aaron Judge was last year, I'm not taking anything away from what Aaron did. We've seen guys hit 60 home runs in a season, right?
Yes.
But we've never seen a guy hit the ball consistently and then pitch consistently like Shohei Ohtani. And, you know, it's going to be a sweepstakes for him. John, there are two teams that I see him going to.
Okay, what do you got?
I think, he'll be a Dodger.
Or?
Because he seems to like it in California.
You're right.
Number two, can I get a drum roll?
There you go.
Thank you. Seattle.
Really?
And you know why I say Seattle, right?
Do tell.
The Ichiro Suzuki effect. Just imagine him playing in Seattle, him and Julio, right?
Right.
He already knows the AL West. You can't sit here and tell me Ichiro wouldn't be a major influence behind him going to Seattle.
Oh, it would, but Ronnie, you want to tell Christian your argument where you thought he might land?
Hey, listen, if no one's getting him and you end up putting him in a place like, especially if this happens within the next year and they move him, I wouldn't mind seeing him going to, if you're going to use him strictly as an attraction, imagine him in a place like Vegas.
Because, look,
listen, Oakland doesn't have the money to sign him long-term.
No.
But if they had the money, other than New York City, what is the biggest destination tourist trap for Asian Americans?
Vegas.
Bingo.
Or
if he goes into Vegas, you're not telling me that place is going to sell out every night? For him, he's going to be the guy. And he can, and here's the thing, too. Even without him pitching a year, he can still demand $60 million for that season.
All right, here's a team that none of you have mentioned. What about Miami? It's a tourist destination, and you're telling me, with it being a big tourist attraction as it is, Miami on itself, you bring in a guy like him, that stadium will never be empty. And all the money to come into that town, it's like, I think the bottom line is, I think we'll all say this, and it's basically the truth. No matter where he lands, he's gonna draw. No matter where he lands,
well, yeah,
he could be in Milwaukee and they'll draw. He could be in St. Louis, he draw. It's not. You're not just getting a baseball player. You're getting, like the old days with Andre the Giant. You bring him to your town, it was an attraction.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it's gonna be, and that's exactly what Shohei's gonna be. If he has a great, if his arm comes back and he pitches beautifully again, you know, you got yourself a steal. If he doesn't, you still have one of the best home run hitters I've seen come down the path in a long time. Not the best, but one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. I mean, right now it's the wait and see game.
Right.
Quick Mets news. I guess you can call it. Buck is coming back next year.
Well, we'll see about that.
Lindor's backing him, so if Lindor's backing him, there's your money.
And yeah, I wouldn't put all my eggs in the Lindor basket when it comes to him.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Trade him for backing the manager? Good luck with that.
No, I'm not saying trade Lindor. I'm saying the fact that Buck, you know, look, the fans, the players might like Buck. And look, I have nothing against Buck. He had the Midas touch 10 years ago. He doesn't have it this year. He just doesn't have it. Maybe the magic has run out. I remember when Joe Torre was manager of the Yankees. Remember all those years, Christian, he had the Midas touch?
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do anything wrong. Towards the end of his Yankee tenure, it just kind of went down. Not saying anything wrong with Joe, but it's like a manager has just so much magic in the tank.
Yeah, honestly, I think to elaborate on what you just said and to piggyback off of it, I honestly think that he kind of lost, like what you said, that Midas touch after 2004.
Right.
With the A's, with the D-backs?
No.
We're talking about Joe Torre.
Torre. I think you meant Buck.
No, Joe Torre, when the Yankees had the 3-0 lead, and then they ended up losing the series.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing could be said about Joe Girardi, too. Joe Girardi was a decent manager towards the end. He lost it, too.
Towards the end. You know who didn't lose it towards the end?
Who's that?
La Russa.
He just got drunk.
Yeah, because like I always say, and White Sox fans will tell you the same thing. The White Sox that year when they won the division, they weren't winning because of Tony La Russa. They were winning in spite of him.
Right.
Yeah, but when he was in St. Louis, we were winning because of
him. Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know. He's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, yeah. I mean, look, I don't disrespect Hall of Famers, but I don't know. The game has changed so much. But then again, how is it that the game's changed yet? Some managers can adapt with the change and some can't. Like, look at Dusty Baker. Dusty's adapted with the change.
It also doesn't hurt that Dusty has the horses in the stable to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, there's so many different managers out there we could list. I mean, there's been good managers and there's been bad managers, but there's just
bad managers. Mike Matheny.
I mean Joe Maddon.
Mike Matheny was terrible.
Mike, hey, what's the guy? Well, Felipe Alou was a good manager for a lot of years.
Good old
Bruce Bochy.
Oh, Bruce Bochy is great.
Bruce Bochy, I mean, stuff like that. Whitey Herzog. I mean, you guys in St. Louis loved Whitey Herzog.
Oh, Whitey was great.
Whitey, and you know where Whitey ironically started? He was with the Royals.
Let me just say this. Whenever the Cardinals transitioned from the La Russa era to the Matheny era, and we went on the losing streak of, you know, staying out of playoff contention for real,
right.
That we've never really had to deal with in St. Louis, because whether you love us or hate us, the fact of the matter remains, we're a good ball club. We're usually always in playoff contention. It was because one of the first things that Matheny did as his head coach was he stopped daily infield practice. That was a La Russa thing. And that's why our defense was so sharp. And they haven't restarted it, and our defense has looked like shit ever since.
You're not wrong. But now here's the thing I want to ask you guys this, and I want to say, out of all the teams who would you say is the best pitching coach you've ever seen in the league?
There's a reason
I ask that, and I'll explain what when after you guys are done.
I don't even know pitching coaches, so I'm not even gonna. I can't even answer that correctly.
I mean, I don't either. But if I had to throw one out there, John, you know who I'm gonna say?
Who's that?
Whoever the hell was managing the pitching coach of the Atlanta Braves in the '90s.
I think that was Leo Mazzoni, if memory serves correctly.
Because you had Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, and Tom Glavine.
Yeah.
All of them are in Cooperstown, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, let me look. I'll look.
No, I'm almost positive. I know Glavine's in. I know Maddux. You know what? I don't know if Glavine's in yet.
Hey, let me
I know
see.
Smoltz and Maddux are both in.
I can see. Hold on.
But the reason I asked that is because, along with the manager, the pitching coach and the hitting coach are the most important part of a team. And it's like, You could have the world's greatest manager. You got a shitty pitching coach. Your team's going to suffer.
Not always, because it's not just those coaches. Because sometimes your third base coach can be a secret weapon for your team.
Or he could be a detriment.
Absolutely. We got blessed, and then Matheny ran him off. But we had Jose Oquendo.
Ah, Jose Oquendo, man. I remember seeing him. I don't remember what game it was, but there was a foul ball call, and he went ape shit on that umpire.
Right. Yeah. Him at third base, it hurt us. Fun fact, I went to school with two of his daughters. He fucking lives out here by me.
Jose Oquendo? No shit.
Yeah, I went to school with his daughters, Marilyn and Carolyn. My ex-wife went with his daughter, Audie, and my sister went with his daughter, Audie.
Very cool.
The Oquendos.
Very cool. But no, but you know what it is, too, and it's like, I mean, a lot of people think, some people might think this, I don't know if it's true, but some people think that when a manager is hired, they automatically say, the manager's like, I can hire any coach I want. It's not necessarily the truth.
No, but there are coaches that they will say, you know, I want to go after.
Oh, yeah, they say, oh, yeah, I want, yeah, a lot of managers want their guys.
Right.
You know, but a lot of their times that their guys may not be guys that are, have been proven successful with teams, both hitting and pitching on the pitching level. Because I look at when the Mets had Chili Davis as a hitting coach, the team loved him, but ownership didn't like him. And when the ownership said, Chili, you got to go, a lot of players balked, and to be honest with you, I think that happened in, what, 2018 or 2019? The Mets team actually suffered because all the players were pissed that Chili Davis was let go.
Yeah, but Chili Davis is one of those players that, if you even look at his resume, he was only good 1 year in a place. When he was with the Yankees, he was good at 99, he was terrible in 2000. They fired him, they did great. When he was with the Mets, it was good for 1 year, and then that's it. Like,
No, I agree with everything you just said, but I'm just saying, it's like, see, that's what some fans don't realize, that a pitching coach, a batting coach, third base coach, manager, not only do they have to be successful in their craft, but they have to have the respect of players. Saying Lindor saying he has respect for Buck Showalter, I have respect for Buck Showalter, but I think Buck is the word I'm trying
but
to
say. But you know what, though? It's not respect for Buck. It's saying that Buck needs – he wants – he's saying that he will only really play for Buck. And the difference is between someone like – I'll use an example as like a Pete Alonso compared to a Lindor, is Lindor's got the money back behind it that you have invested in the man.
No, you're right. You're completely right. I understand that. But what I'm saying is like, you don't now let's just have a little fun. The Mets go out and they spend a ton of money on pitchers again next year, on all these Japanese or Korean pitchers that are on, they're supposedly posting that everybody's going to be clamoring for. They bring them in and Buck mismanages them the first 2 months of the season. You don't think Cohen's going to look at him and go, I don't care who backs you, you're out of here.
Well, that's different.
And Lindor could sit there and cry and whine and bitch and all that stuff and say, look, I only want to play for him. Well, then Steve Cohen could turn around and say, okay, Lindor, I'll trade you to the first team that wants you.
But again, that's completely different. That's Buck not doing his job. He was under a lot of fucking bullshit this year, if you really think about it.
Not really, because you know what it is? I mean, you had two future Hall of Famers on your pitching staff.
That couldn't pitch their way out of a paper bag. He lost his closer. His fifth starter couldn't fucking stay healthy. The only thing that was good was Senga.
Yeah, who I don't know if – I think he got – I know he picked – tonight was his second – I think he's got one more start in him, and I think he's about to reach 200 strikeouts, which will be – amazing for a team that's basically faltered as bad as this team did this year.
So Buck had one fully healthy starter the entire year.
Yeah,
that,
but
that to me is someone that didn't have his team, that didn't have the team that he needed around him.
Okay, you're right. But here's like you like to say, riddle me this. The team decided to bring up all the kids, the Vientos, the Alvarezes, the Beatties, the Mauricios, and all that stuff. Before they brought up Mauricio, they brought up Vientos. Buck wouldn't play him.
How much of that was Buck and how much was that was...
I'm beginning to... A lot of people are speculating, like I said, and I'm only using this as speculation. From a lot of reports, I've heard both TV, radio, and print paper. A lot of people think it was Buck that didn't want to start it because Buck didn't think he was ready. If he wasn't ready, why the hell was he brought up? Just because of injuries? You could have gone out and made a minor league deal for somebody of a major league proven player. There's free agents available. You could have made minor trades. But no, they decided to bring up Vientos, but they didn't play him. And then when he did get a chance to play, he wasn't performing. Now Vientos is playing semi-regular. He finally started heating up and playing like the Vientos that was in AAA.
It's the Cashman issue. Cashman's guilty of this too. Where it's not Boone that doesn't want to play any of the young guys. It's Cashman that doesn't want any of the young guys playing.
Oh, I also heard that Billy and Epler is coming back next year too.
Well, yeah, that's why Buck is probably coming back.
And I call him an Epler because that's what he is. He's inept. But that's my only thing with Buck. Look, I mean when he managed the Yankees before he left, he had some great players on that team. I mean, because the reason I think they played so well for him. It's because he had the Jeters, the Pettits, the Bernies, the Posadas. It's because he managed them in the minor leagues. He knew what they were capable of doing. And that's why that first year that a lot of them were up. Christian, when was his last year? 95 was his last year, I think. Hello, Christian.
He's on mute.
I'm almost, I'll look it up. I'm looking. But, yeah, 95 was his last year. 95 is when all these kids came up, and they missed the playoffs by the skin of their teeth. The next year, they go out, and they let him go and brought in Joe Torre. And Joe Torre basically reaped the benefits of what Buck Showalter did. But that was the old Buck. The new Buck is like everybody's using the term analytics. That's what it is. It's the analytics that are really hurting everybody.
We've had analytics for the last 30 years.
Yeah, but they've been brought to the forefront the last couple of years, though.
No, they've been in the forefront for the last 20. Does anyone forget what a scouting report was? That's
That's
analytics.
Yeah, I know, but they didn't call it analytics now. That's it. You see, this is what a lot of times when the manager's like, oh, well, we're going to bring in this manager because we can force the, you know, we could really put the analytics forward.
No. Okay, I'm going to say this right now, and Ryan, I'll let you talk about this because I know you probably have something to say about this, and then we'll move on. It's not analytics anymore. It's these fucking nerdy dudes in the back with glasses that go through and be like, ah, well, so-and-so has to do this. They have to do this. They can't deter. They can't do anything else. They're a bunter. They have to bunt.
Yeah, no, analytics in baseball is bullshit. That's just some fucking little job they made up for some fucking wannabe little nerd in the back like fucking Ronnie said. The fact is, stats talk in baseball. How do you get stats? You play the fucking game and you average it together. Fuck your analytics.
But guess what? We've always had analytics. It was called a scouting report. Oh, he favors the fastball. He favors the low and away sinker. He favors this. He has trouble pitching the inside of the plate, so wait for the outside and drive it the other way. It's always been there. God, I remember Fox, anytime, Saturday baseball. Fox always had, okay, bring up the set, bring up the scouting report. There's your analytics. There's literally how the game is played.
But it's not analytics. It's statistics.
No, but that's literally what it is. Like, analytics is statistics, but it's how, oh, well, they have to do this because the analytics say that. No, the statistics show this, but there's always has to be a way for it to end. Like, there's always a way for statistics and analytics. They're one and the same. They're literally just called a different name.
I don't know, man. You can have an analytical mind. I've never heard anybody with a statistical mind.
Listen, it just sounds better on a fucking. It sounds better on a fucking 8x10. Really
nice,
does.
Nice reference there, but I get
yeah.
it.
But I'm saying it sounds better in preaching. Oh, well, the analytics show this, not the statistics show this.
I have a microphone. You have a beer. Odin has a plan.
Clever way of putting that over there, dude.
All right, moving on.
Yes, let's move on.
Last little bit, and it's a little Met news, but it's kind of sad, too. The Twins placed Correa on the IL with a foot injury.
Ankle again?
Don't know. They just said foot, but I'm thinking ankle.
It's got to be ankle because that was the issue that kept him from the Mets this year and the Giants last year.
And that's why I was like, ooh, boy.
Ooh, doggy.
Dodged a major bullet with that one.
So it says his left foot was forced to leave. He was forced to leave Monday's game when it flared up. They're saying foot, but you got to think it's his ankle, too. If it's his plant foot, he's got to rotate on that ankle, so it's got to be an ankle issue, too.
Yeah.
But, boy, did the Mets dodge and the Giants dodge a bullet.
And they, at the amount of money they were going to be paying him, what was it, like a...
40
It was, no, a 12, like, it was a 12-year, 300...
$38 million a year?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Jesus.
Well,
all right, let's start moving over to college football. Christian, you son of a bitch.
Tensioned.
Jared Cole's not an ace.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey. I just figured that game your sense. For that, I'm muted more because I'm on the phone. I'll be right back.
I'll mute more.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I figured that would get his attention if I said Gary
Cole.
Oh,
that got his attention, all right. He may be a Cy Young. He ain't no ace.
He knows I'm only screwing around with him. I just figured that would get his attention, but I didn't
think
he'd
go back. Attention.
I didn't think he'd go back on mute again.
he said he was on the phone.
Yeah, I think he said he had a phone call.
Yeah.
But
motherfucker won 15-1 this week in picks.
Who, Christian did?
Yeah, he went 15-1.
This surprises no one because he's a genius when it comes to this stuff.
Wait, what happened?
You went 15-1.
And
I'm calling you a genius.
In college.
Damn.
Yeah.
Which one did I get wrong?
Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, you know, Molly.
I hear a certain someone right now.
You know what it is? You know, Christian, I'm only screwing around with you. I'm only having fun with you. You know that,
oh,
right?
I know.
What? Christian, what?
I hear
what?
What are you talking about? Wait a minute. Wait.
Yeah, Christian, you're the only fucker. You're the only one that took Mizzou.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm used to blowing it.
Oh, Jesus, tap dancing Christ. But, yeah, college football this week. Hoo, boy. Hunter.
Wow, 15-1? Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations, sir.
Here's your cookie.
Oh, wow.
Here's your cookie.
You deserve that.
Thank you. Can I get a round of applause or something?
That's
what he just gave you. He just gave you one.
Oh, a cookie. I'm going to hear some clapping.
Oh, shit.
Dude, Chris would try to dispute this if he were on right now.
Oh, you know he would.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we could have easily made a joke about that, Ryan. You could have easily done, yeah, you want clapping? Yeah, sponsored by Clap Cleats. Yeah, Chris, okay, wait.
Or
oh, God, fuck you.
You play the music, not me.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
I don't want to go to Chili's. Why did you summon me?
Hell no!
All I'm saying,
I don't see
because,
it!
And every...
You did. What do you want? What's your question?
Why did you have Mizzou hit a 61-yard field goal to win the game?
Okay, so like this.
Oh, no. Who summoned him? Who called him?
Shut up, John. So it went like this. I've been listening to you guys.
Who called Debo?
And Christian was the only one to have the balls to pick Mizzou. So I fucked you guys. And he went 15-1. Suck it, Ronnie. Fucking suck it.
And at least there's no jerseys up for fucking college football.
Why is that?
Well, it would be a 3-person race. John would definitely not participate in it.
Fuck no.
Well, do we have any other questions, or did you just call me up here for bullshit?
That bullshit.
You're gonna piss it off. Well,
I told you, Satan. What the fuck? Why are you fucking up here?
I can't help myself. When I'm summoned, I have to appear. That's kind of how it works.
No, you don't. You can tell them to go fuck themselves and come back down here in bed.
Go fuck yourselves.
That's right. Bye, bitches. Oh, God damn it.
I'll be back, guys. I'm going to get a drink at the end of Debo.
That's like a very small dog.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, college football. So, Hunter, wide receiver from Colorado, has a lacerated spleen.
How the fuck do you lacerate your spleen?
By getting fucking hit. By getting hit by a fucking cheap shot.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, it was a dirty hit. That's why he got death threats. That's why the Colorado State player got death threats, because he had a cheap shot on the Colorado wide receiver, Travis Hunter. He's going to be out. Hunter's going to be out for 3 games with a lacerated spleen.
Damn.
Bro, it was a dirty hit. He literally went out of his way to hit him.
And is there going to be type of punishment for said dirty hit?
No, actually, they threw a penalty on sportsmanlike conduct, but no suspension.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting.
It is not fantastic.
But did Lily von Stutt get here?
Christian, I'm talking about Blackburn's hit.
Wait, what happened?
Blackburn's hit on Hunter.
I mean, here's my thing, guys. You know, having played, we were taught to lay a hit on a guy but not be dirty with it, right? And I remember, I want to say 2013, literally, I've been having this discussion. There was a show I used to contribute for called The Great Debate. Great guys. Steve Sufferdin, Wyatt Reed on SportsTownChicago.com, right?
Right.
And Wyatt, who I've become very close friends with, Wyatt and Steve, we're almost like brothers. And Wyatt, I remember asking me if I were playing in today's football, so back then and now, right?
Right.
How would I hit somebody in today's league, whether it's NFL or college? You know what I said? I said, I'm going to hit him. I'm aiming for the knees because I know if I go crown to crown and helmet to helmet, it's going to get me kicked out the game in college. It's going to be unnecessary roughness, right?
Right.
And it's going to get me probably suspended for a game by the NCAA.
And not to mention, it might hurt somebody too.
Yeah. Whereas in the NFL, I go helmet to helmet. Guess what?
You're losing money.
You're coming out your pocket $35,000. So I'm aiming for the knee, even if that unfortunately means someone's going to suffer a knee injury.
I mean, great example is look at what happened Monday.
Yeah.
That's exactly the reason why I brought it up.
What happened Monday? We'll get into
Chubb and that horrific knee injury.
Here, John, I'm going to send you what I wrote about Nick Chubb, okay?
Was that the one that I sent in the chat?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Okay. I did see that, yeah.
I'm going to – here, you want to read my take on it?
Yeah, send it to my Facebook. I'll check it later.
Oh, I was going to just send it to the Skype combo.
Oh, well, I think you can do that too. Go ahead.
Okay, cool.
To the fact that – I mean, we'll bring it up now for a little bit. But the fact that Buck and Aikman literally said it was too horrific that we couldn't show it, like, oh, and then just seeing the replays hit Twitter, it's like, oh, it was not pretty.
No, it wasn't.
No.
No, it wasn't at all. Okay, God.
That's bad.
But they ended up signing, just real quick, though, they ended up actually signing... I believe they got Kamara back. Now, who'd they pick up? Sorry, I'm wrong. It's, Kareem Hunt. Which, that's going to be a nasty fucking person in the backfield again.
Yeah, and he knows the system.
Yeah.
So, I think this is a good signing because he knows the ins and outs. Like, what people fail to realize is football is all about personnel fit and coaching matters. Like, look at what the Minnesota Vikings did today. You saw who they got, right, Ronnie?
I was just about to say, breaking news, Cam Akers got traded to the Vikings.
And when Cam Akers was in Los Angeles, who was the Rams' offensive coordinator?
Kevin O'Connell.
Who's the Vikings' head coach now?
Kevin O'Connell.
Bingo.
They say what they gave up. Oh, wow. They gave up a 7th-round pick for him and a 6th. And a flip of 6th. That's a steal.
So they basically gave him away for nothing practically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A 6th and a 7th pick, 90% of the time, that's your kickers or your – no one goes 7th. No one really makes the main roster at 7th or 6th round unless you're Brock Purdy.
Nobody does this, except for that one guy that did this.
Let's put it this way. More people make the team going undrafted than if you get drafted in a 6th or 7th round.
All right, here's a question. This goes for more Christian. I know you might know this. Has anybody ever who's been drafted 6 or 7 ever made the Hall of Fame?
Well, we know one guy is in a couple years.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, Brady.
Brady,
I mean,
yeah.
He's a lead pipe lock. to get into the hall.
Other than him, nobody else.
Not I mean, you got a lot. You got a lot of fit. You got a lot of guys that are five. A lot of fives, like a Dak Prescott and a Russell Wilson. You don't see a lot of sixth, seventh round picks. Well, rephrase that. In the modern era, sixth, seventh round pick. Because remember, it used to be. There used to be, what, 13 rounds?
Was there that many rounds?
I believe so.
Wow.
Yeah, the draft used to be long as hell.
Yeah, it was like 13 rounds because Mike Golick got drafted in like the 15th round when he was with the Eagles.
Yeah, because I remember that in the old Madden games. Like, the draft took a fucking ever.
Yeah.
That's why I always sim that shit.
Well, I mean, if all the scouting, I wanted to try to get my guys.
That was a big thing with Hunter and, like, with that and the pros and all that. Quick thing, too. Penn State is planning on firing Tucker, their head coach.
You mean Michigan State?
Michigan State. What did I say?
Penn State.
Sorry, Michigan State. Penn State's already had their own issues.
Hey-o.
They're to terminate his contract with cause. So he ain't getting any of that money.
Yep, he violated his contract.
Saban came out and praised Dion, saying he's a good coach. I don't think anyone's denying that he's a good coach. I just think the team is not where it needs to be yet.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
But first things first, let's get into the top 25.
Okay.
So one team got kicked out of the top 25 this week, and that would be Kansas State.
Wow.
Shocker. K-State, after losing by a 61-yard field goal, knocked out of the top 25. Number 25, joining the show, the Swamp of Florida. Number 24, the Hawkeyes of Iowa, up a spot. Down 12 spots, the Tennessee Vols. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I want to say this. About the Tennessee Volunteers. John, I don't know if you saw this after that game between Tennessee and Florida on Saturday. The game was damn near over. You know when you see the team getting a victory formation and they're getting ready to kneel because the game is damn near over?
Right.
Ronnie, you want to finish the story?
Yeah, and it's led actually into other news. So the coach on Tennessee called a timeout where it was fourth down. It was going into fourth down, and there was 4 seconds left. The game was over.
Uh-huh.
And they called a timeout to make them run one final play. Well, that was a mistake because once that fourth down play happened, there was a massive fight. On the sidelines between Florida and Tennessee.
I heard about it. I didn't see it, but I heard about
the cause and effect is now 4 players have been suspended.
For the season or just the game?
Doesn't say. Celtics suspended 3 Florida players, 1 Tennessee player in the role in the fight. Supposed to be the last play of the game Saturday. The half-game punishment. So they're all going to be sitting the first half of this next game.
Basically, it's a slap on the wrist, really.
Here's what I'll say about this. You're looked at more at how you handle the wins, how you handle the losses more than you handle the wins, right?
Right.
There's something about being gracious in defeat. Ronnie, I said this on Monday evening to quarterback, and I'm going to echo these same sentiments here. There's something about being gracious in defeat. You're not going to always win, and you're not going to always get it your way. I'll never forget the 2012 AFC Championship game. It was the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots, right? Baltimore beat them to go to the – this is the year when Baltimore won the Super Bowl. And normally on CBS, the losing coach of the AFC Championship always talks to one of the sideline reporters, right? Bill Belichick decides to decline the interview. And that just made him look really bad. Tennessee, that incident made you guys look like sore losers. And to be honest with you, I can't put all the blame on the players. This is a reflection of the coach. Just makes me wonder, what's Josh Heupel really teaching out there in Knoxville? You have to be better than this.
Well, I mean, it also goes back to, like, you've seen this before. Look at the, the Las Vegas Pittsburgh game.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Pittsburgh, sorry. Las Vegas, San Diego, L.A.? The Chargers game? Was it the Chargers game at the last game of the year?
What, a couple years ago?
Or no, it was like last year where they were, if they tied, they both got in. But Vegas called a timeout.
I remember the Chargers and the Raiders playing to end the season.
Yeah, it was the last game of the year, and if they tied, they both got in. But if one team won, Pittsburgh got in.
Yeah, that was the end of the 2021 season.
Okay, so 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like you called the timeout, you could have just taken the tie, but you had to try to show up the coach, which that's what you did, and you got, and you fucking got what you reap what you sowed. Go figure. But, no, Tennessee, it's only a half game. No one cares. All right, number 22, UCLA.
Okay.
Number 21, Wazoo. Up two spots. Number 21 is Wazoo. Number 20. After that hard-fought victory over Bethmann Cookman, Miami. Number 19, Colorado. Number 18, them Duke boys. Number 17, North Carolina. Number 16, Boomer Sooner of Oklahoma. 15, Ole Miss. 14, Oregon State. 13, Alabama.
Greenbow?
Yeah.
Greenbow, Alabama.
You know, they didn't look all that good against USF. They should have beat them by more. They don't have a quarterback. Yeah, and this is concerning because this isn't the Alabama of old. Like, they don't scare you anymore like they used to. Like, I don't fear them. Yeah, their front seven's good, but it's their secondary that sucks. They don't have a star wide receiver. The running game is still there, but they get inconsistent play from the quarterback.
Yeah, and like I said on Monday's show, I could see Bama losing four games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number 12, LSU. Number 11, Utah.
Look, this Utah team, I think, is the best team in the Pac-12, Ronnie.
Ah, I got one that I think might be better.
Oh, is it who I think you're going to list next?
Nope. And the next team is the Ducks of Oregon.
Look, remember, what did I say about Oregon at the beginning of the year? They could be who? This year's TCU.
Oh, yeah. There's just one problem. It's the team they have to get by that's a little bit above them. Number 9, though, is Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame, they're rolling right now. I think this is the most balanced that I think I've seen on a Fighting Irish team in quite some time. Because like I've been saying, everything's been there. Strong offensive line. They can run the football. Serviceable weapons on the perimeter. Good defense. It's just been a question mark at the most important position. And while Ian Book was good at quarterback, he wasn't a guy that I could trust to consistently move the needle for them. And now they have that in Sam Hartman.
Yep. And number eight, the team that I think is the best in the Pac-12, Washington.
Okay. Yeah, Michael Penix Jr. I think he's a legit Heisman candidate this year.
Yeah, and so, like we've talked about Notre Dame, when they got Ohio State this week. If whoever wins that game, you're going to see that one of their best player taking that leap to go to for the Heisman. But Penix is second right now in Heisman voting as of right now. So he's in that mix, but we'll see what happens. Number seven, Penn State, the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, man, this Penn State team, kind of concerned about them. I'll talk about them a little bit more when we get to game two.
Yep. Number six, overrated State.
Yeah, they haven't really moved the needle for me either this year.
Yep. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, the team that's ranked highest in the Pac-12, but I still think Washington's better than USC.
Yeah, I think USC, it's your typical Lincoln Riley team. You know what you're going to get from them offensively, but where do they struggle most? On the defensive side.
Yeah, by the way, Washington, I would have jumped over all these teams and put them in number four, and I would have dropped Florida State out of the top four. You go into BC, even on a bandana game, and you clearly were looking to Clemson.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And what do I always say on this show or any other show or even on the website? What have I always said? Handle what's in front of you.
In front of you.
And then that team that bigger opponent that's on your schedule, they're still going to be there at the end of the day.
Yeah, oh, God damn it. Sorry, I'm watching AEW. MJF's got fucking pinstripe gear on.
Matt Pinstripes?
No, Yankee Pinstripe.
Nice. Oh, boy.
Actually, he's doubling it up. He's got Yankee Pinstripes, but he's got Met colors on.
You see the promo he cut at Citi Field?
Yes, I did. number three, after escaping at a three quarters against Wyoming, Texas.
Oh, they handled their business.
Yep. Number two, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, UGA rolled.
Look, I'm glad Georgia kind of got a little bit of that test the other day, because South Carolina went in there and they punched them in the mouth for a half, but that's the thing. When you play a team like Georgia, you got to come with the intensity for all four quarters. It's not going to take a half of football to beat them.
Oh, no,
and that's what that's what championship pedigree is. We saw a Georgia team just make those necessary adjustments.
I was going to say, don't worry, they got a cupcake this week.
Mhm.
They got UAB.
Oh, God.
Hey, Dilfer, don't lose by 40. That's the head. No, the head coach is Trent Dilfer. Figure that shit out. How the fuck? He was barely coaching. He was coaching his kid's high school team 2 years ago. Now he's a coach of UAB. But, all right, let's dive into our weekly picks for college football. And we start it off with Rutgers going into the Big House against Michigan. They are only, surprisingly, they are 24-point dogs. Michigan's a 24-point favorite in this game. It's in the Big House. I would have given Rutgers a little more of a shot if it was home. It's in the Big House. I think the fact that it's 24 is actually good towards Rutgers. But this is your first shit. This is your first game with Harbaugh back. Harbaugh's going to want to make a statement. Michigan rolls and covers.
Yeah, I like Michigan as well. Like you just said, Jim Harbaugh's back. So this team is going to come out, I think, with more of an edge than they already had.
Michigan for me.
Yeah, Michigan. Sorry, buddy.
No, trust me. I hope they can cover this game. By the way, Christian, I want to say this too. Out of the 5 years we've been doing this,
mm-hmm.
no one's gone perfect yet, ever.
Gone perfect in what?
College or pros. What? No one's gone perfect in picks. You're the closest. 15-1 is the closest so far.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no one's gone perfect since we made it 16 games. All right, the big game of the week. Christian, you're doing a you're writing about this. Ohio State, Notre Dame. Ohio State is a 3-point favorite on the road in South Bend. What's your keys to the game?
Well, okay. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of info, right? Two teams that held Ohio State to under 30 points last year. Do you know who they were?
I don't remember.
Notre Dame and Oregon?
Notre Dame and Michigan. You were close. You got one of them. When Notre Dame played them last year, Notre Dame held them to 21 points, and it was in the shoe. They kept everything underneath, you know. But they're going to be seeing a much different offense, but they're still going to be seeing Marvin Harrison Jr. So I would double him. Double him. I force Ohio State to run this football. Now, if you're Notre Dame, you got to turn this into a shootout because – I don't think this Ohio State team is equipped for a shootout like they were the last few years, if that makes sense. I'm excited for this game because we have the bluest of bloods here, the bluest of blue bloods here in this game. You know, whenever I think of the blue bloods in college football, the first four teams I think of are Alabama, Michigan, Notre Dame, and Ohio State, especially those two. Just think of, you know, all the legendary names that have gone to both schools. Eddie George for Ohio State. Chris Carter, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Archie Griffin, he's the only guy in the history of college football to win the Heisman twice, right? Then Notre Dame, Joe Montana, Jerome Bettis, Tim Brown, all Hall of Famers. This atmosphere is going to be absolutely electric. Man, it's going to be an absolute honor to preview this game. I preview it on Saturday. Be on the lookout.
Yep. All right. So, if this game was in the shoe, I would think Ohio State should win this game. If not, it's in South Bend. So, what they're saying is that Ohio State is a 6-point better team in a neutral site than Notre Dame. That is asinine. That is crazy. This game should be a pick 'em when it comes to the bets. I think Notre Dame is a better team. Give me the Irish.
I'm going to take Ohio. I'm going to take Ohio in this.
I'll pick Notre Dame.
Okay, next, going to Happy Valley, Iowa takes on Penn State. Penn State is a 14.5-point home favorite. Iowa now actually has an offense. I don't think that means shit in Happy Valley, though. Happy Valley is going to be up and running. Penn State wins and covers.
Penn.
Christian, you're give me the keys to the game in your opinion.
Man, I want to see if Drew Allar can keep up with, can get the ball to his wide receivers because he had a tough time connecting with his wide receivers the other day. Iowa's going to do what on Saturday night? They're going to clog those lanes to limit K-Tran Allen and Nicholas Singleton. And I don't know if Cade McNamara is 100% because he hasn't looked all that great this year. I preview this one tomorrow. Be on the lookout.
Sweet. All right. Now we got to go to Philly. Miami taking on Temple. Miami's a 3-point favorite.
Give me Miami.
Yeah. Give me the U. Give me the U.
Yeah, I'm taking Miami as well.
Smart man.
All right. Oh, boy. New Mexico State. Oh, hold on. First things first. Christian, we're going to the island.
Mm-hmm.
New Mexico State versus Hawaii. Hawaii is a 2.5-point favorite. This kickoff is at 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern on Sunday.
I ain't nobody care.
I was going to say, can I say it for you, Christian? Man, no, nobody cares.
make the pick.
I did.
Make the pick.
Don't nobody care.
Hawaii's so bad, I'm actually taking the upset. Give me New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Oh, what the hell? I'll take New Mexico.
Especially with all the heat wave lights and
wildfires.
You could say that. We'll go with that. Wildfires. Yeah, wildfires.
Oh, wildfires.
All right. Now to the big games. We got through the major stuff. Let's get to the bigger games. Florida State is a 2-point favorite going into Death Valley against Clemson. Oh, you looked ahead from Boston College to Clemson. Clemson needs this win desperately. It's home, but give me FSU. They're too good.
FSU.
Yeah, FSU.
Yeah, man, I was looking forward to this one because it was going to be a rivalry renewed, and everybody thought these were going to be the two big dogs in the ACC. But Clemson, you know, Clemson's almost in the Alabama boat. They just don't scare me. Kay Klubnik, he doesn't put fear into a defense. This Clemson offense only has one guy, and that's Will Shipley. Florida State, I want to see how they come out because this is going to be a tough environment. This is the game you looked ahead to. Now it's finally here. What are you going to do with it? I like Florida State here. Florida State might blow them out because Clemson's just not a good football team right now.
Yeah.
And honestly, Ronnie, this Florida State team reminds me a little bit of that 2013 team that won it all.
Yeah, I can see that. All right. Next, Army goes into New York and takes on Syracuse. Syracuse is a 14-point favorite. Give me the Orangemen.
Cuse.
This is who?
Army Cuse.
Definitely Syracuse.
They might not cover, but they'll beat Army. Auburn goes in and takes on Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a 7.5-point favorite. Give me Auburn. I like the dog in this game. John?
Auburn who?
Texas A&M.
Hey, give me Texas.
I'm going to go Auburn.
Christian?
I'm going Auburn.
Auburn's been really good this year. All right. Now here's the test for for TCU. They are home, and they are taking on SMU, SMU. TCU's a 6.5-point favorite. How does the tackling hold up in this game? In my opinion, not that good. Give me the upset, and give me the...
Give me
the- Give me SMU.
Yeah.
What? What team? SMU.
Yeah, give me SMU, baby.
SMU can run. That's the thing on fucking TCU. All right, Christian. Big game. 3 o'clock, Colorado takes on Oregon. Oregon's a 21-point favorite.
So, looking at this game, guys, you know, I want to start with Colorado, okay? 20-point underdog against TCU, right? They go into Fort Worth and beat TCU by 3. Play Nebraska next. Beat up on Nebraska. Well, that was because Nebraska shot themselves in the foot and missed so many opportunities, right? Last week was a rivalry game, Colorado State. And look, stop giving teams bulletin board material because, you know, when Deion says we take it personal, his players bite off that. And what do we say, Ronnie, about your coach setting the tone?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because all that could have been avoided. Yeah, they won. They just escaped. But now we're about to see who Colorado really is. Like, Oregon is better than TCU, Nebraska, and Colorado State combined. And there's no Travis Hunter. Travis has been their best player. But I think, you know, Xavier Weaver is going to have to be the X factor for Colorado. He is probably their best pure wide receiver along with Jimmy Horn. I mean, he can make those tough catches in traffic. He can stretch the field. He can go up for the ball vertically. And before he transferred, this was the all AAC guy. Oregon. They look more comfortable now under Dan Lanning. I see a team who has just, they played with more control, and I still continue to say it to this day. Bo Nix transferring to Oregon is the best thing that could have happened for this young man. Oregon can run the ball, and they can throw it. This is going to be a tough day for Colorado. And it's in Eugene. I like Oregon. I think Oregon hands Colorado their first loss of the year. This is where I think it's going to get tough for Colorado now. Yes, Colorado's going to talk of football, but there are some things within Colorado that have kind of shown me that they're not ready yet. Are they an improved team? Yes, but they still have things they have to work on.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. I think you're going to see Jackson or Sanders is going to end up being what he needs to do. And now with no Hunter for 3 weeks, that's going to hurt him the most because now he doesn't have his go-to. But Oregon's defense is better than everybody else. So, yeah, quack, quack, motherfuckers. Give me the Ducks.
Ducks.
Quack.
Yeah, okay.
No, fuck you. It's too late to start now.
Quack. Quack. Yeah, UCLA is a 4.5-point dog against Utah. In Utah. Give me the Utes.
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 Yeah, I'm taking Utah as well. I think it'd be a tough battle if it were in I'd be leaning toward UCLA, but Utah, they have such a great home atmosphere. That's what's going to carry them.
The question is does what's his name play, Cam Rising?
I don't know. I think they're still going to play easy with him.
Because if Cam Bad Moon Rising ends up playing, then yeah, I'm definitely taking Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, that was clever, Ryan.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
No, fuck you.
Huh? What?
Cam Bad Moon Rising.
What?
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I'm picking up.
Yeah. All right. Now it's the Lane Kiffin Bowl. Ole Miss goes into Tuscaloosa to take on Bama. Bama's a 7-point favorite. Roll. No fucking tie. Give me Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Give me Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm looking at this one. These matchups always seem to be tough for Alabama. Saban, Kiffin, Alabama just has no confidence. Ronnie, Give me my theme music. Play the song.
Oh, you're actually calling for it.
You're my love.
I like Ole Miss.
Yep, Ole Miss. All right, here's an interesting one. Both 3-0 teams, BYU, taking on Kansas. The Jayhawks are a 9-point favorite.
Fuck Kansas.
You going Mormon?
BYU.
Christian. I'm taking Kansas.
Yeah, Rock Chalk Jayhawks. Yeah, I'm taking Kansas. Maybe not to cover, but I think they're definitely gonna, I think they'll beat BYU. If this was in BYU, I could think differently, but I'm not taking the fight in Mormons.
Fighting Mormons.
And that's what they are.
I know. It still fucking tickles me. I'm sorry. That's funny.
Listen, they need him to walk through the door, but Zach Wilson's not walking through that door anytime soon.
Oh, God, can't we get him back?
All right, next. Oregon State takes on Wazoo. Wazoo is a 3-point home dog in this, but give me DJ Uiagalelei and give me Oregon State. Give me the Beavers.
Beaver time.
Give me Oregon State.
Beaver.
Beaver cleat.
Why would you go there, you sick?
All right. That was actually a bad segue that turned into a good segue. Texas goes on the road and goes to Baylor, goes to Waco. Baylor is a 15-point home dog in this game. Give me Cam Ewers in Texas, but they do not cover.
TX, yes.
Christian?
I like Texas here. They have too much. I just don't think Baylor has the secondary to keep up with Xavier Worthy. And I know there's no answer for Jadavian Sanders. I think this entire offense has a big day.
Now, this final game... it's a little weird, but they're both 3-0 teams. Memphis goes on the road to Mizzou. Missouri is a 5.5-point favorite. Both teams are 3-0 for the time in God knows how long. What team goes 4-0? I'm going Mizzou.
Mizzou.
Missouri, baby.
Not Missouri.
You're not going Missouri. You still going Memphis? You're going to go Memphis?
I'm going to go Memphis. And yes, Christian, that means next week, if I'm wrong, you can tell me I don't know shit.
Well, I'll tell you, you don't know shit now.
And that is our college picks.
Ryan, you're still my guy.
What?
What?
Wait, who?
What?
Is this Ohio State Notre Dame?
That was about 20 minutes ago. Get your shit in order.
Oh, go Eagles. No, sorry.
Dummy.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're funny, motherfucker.
I am the hype.
Oh, goddamn, I knew
that's my purse! I don't know you!
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're having way too much fun.
Oh. Hey, Joe Biden! Oh, shit. All right, let's make our way over to the NFL.
And I got questions for Christian when it comes to you-know-who when we get to that game, when they get to that game.
Okay.
Well, right. First things first, Chubb out the whole year with a blown-out fucking knee.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's the best way I can describe it. He completely shredded his knee.
Honestly, you know what this injury kind of reminded me of?
What?
The Adrian Peterson.
In what way?
Blowing out his whole knee, the way he went down and everything. But how is he gonna come back from this? That to me is the million-dollar question, because he this is the same knee. He's injured the same knee once before.
Yes. I think in college he actually injured this knee. I mean, you're right. It is going to be interesting to see what happens. It's just... Now, what is it? That happened in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, it did.
Pittsburgh's got turf, right? Or do they got natural?
I think they have grass.
Then that has nothing to do.
It was the way he got hit.
He was planted, and he got rolled into. Because he got full, just not pretty. Yeah, but it sucks, but they signed the Hunt. They went out and got Hunt for that, so it's going to be like the old days.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy. All right. 2 weeks in, Christian, in your opinion, who do you think is the worst team in the NFL right now?
Wow. That's a good question. The worst team in the NFL. I want to say Arizona, but they've played better than I think a lot of people have given them credit for. But you know who, to answer your question, you know who I'm going to say? The Denver Broncos. Because you're thinking they would be a lot better with Sean Payton. Sean's trying to instill a whole bunch of toughness into this team, something they didn't have last year. And it just seems like both sides of the ball have flip-flopped, because it was their offense that struggled last season, right? And it was their defense that was keeping them in games, primarily. Now, it's their offense that's been doing well, and it's the defense that's letting up on them. So I'll go to Denver Broncos right now.
John, who do you think?
Right now, from what I've heard, like I said, this is all from what I've heard, I'm going to go with New England, because, I mean, to start off 0-2 on the season, that's not very unlike them.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I get what you're saying, and yet you're not wrong. They are right now, the record-wise, the worst, but look who they played. They played Philly, and they barely held on against Philly. And they played Miami, who is definitely a playoff team. Not saying that you're wrong, but it really comes down to that defense has dogs. Like, now it's just question is can Jones be the guy for them, which that's a whole different issue. But you're not wrong. Ryan, who do you think?
Denver.
Okay. Go ahead. Give your reason.
The Denver that we've seen so far this season, and I know it's early in this season, it is not a Denver that I think we've ever seen before.
Okay.
They look weak.
I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you guys one that no one said yet, and that's the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I could have said them as well, but no, nah, it's just something about this Denver team, because Denver should be a lot better than a lot of people than they should be right now. I know a lot of I was even on record on a phone call, Ronnie, on Monday evening quarterback saying, remember someone asked me who's one team that struggled last year that you could see improving?
Yeah.
And I said Denver. Boy, was I wrong.
The problem is, though, is that Russ's fault? Is that Sean Payton's fault?
Don't get me wrong. I get what Sean's trying to do. He's trying to bring some toughness to this team, because it almost seems like Nathaniel Hackett just let them do whatever they wanted last year. There was no type of structure. There was no type of organization, right? And I don't like the way Sean kind of handled things a little bit, because he kind of threw jabs at other coaches, right?
Right.
And I'm just saying to myself, look, don't do that, because you're not an analyst anymore. You know, if you want to do that, you should have stayed in studio. But he decided to come out of retirement, and I just don't think it's working for them. Like, Russell Wilson's regressed. Remember, Russell Wilson was an MVP candidate a few years ago, and he's anything but that now. And I was so excited when Denver got him, because I'm saying to myself, okay, Denver finally got them a quarterback. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Denver has had a rotating carousel of quarterbacks since Peyton Manning retired. Everybody thought it would pan out with Brock Osweiler. It didn't happen. Trevor Siemian, who actually wasn't bad for them, you know. And then they try and go get Paxton Lynch. Didn't work out. Case Keenum didn't work out. Joe Flacco didn't work out. Yeah, they've had so many different quarterbacks since Peyton Manning retired. And that just goes to show you, like John and I always say, it's tough to replace a Hall of Famer.
That's true. It
right.
is. Very true.
Like, they're still trying to replace Peyton Manning to this day.
Yeah,
it's tough.
All right. Guys, talk amongst yourself for like the next 5 minutes. I gotta go run to the restroom real quick.
All right, John, you said you had questions.
All right. Now, I wasn't able to watch the game because I was at a wrestling show on Sunday, so I didn't get
mm-hmm.
to see the Jets Cowboys. But my friend Matt, who I was sitting with, was giving me nightmare by nightmare highlights as the game was being played
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And my question is like, why haven't the Jets signed a backup yet? That's the first question. And how many games do you give Zach, how much more rope do you give Zach Wilson before you say, this is a bust, we got to look elsewhere?
Well, to be honest with you, I wouldn't sign a free agent quarterback, John. And can I tell you why I wouldn't?
That's why I asked the question. Go for it.
Because it's going to take a free agent quarterback about a month and a half to learn the system, right?
Okay.
You have to get on the same page with everyone. You're not going to connect with everybody like that right away. Now, the reason why I said you rally around Zach Wilson and you stick with him is because, A, you drafted him. B, he knows this offense more than a free agent would. If that makes sense.
Okay. I understand where you're coming from, but here's my take. It's like, I like I said, I didn't see the game. I'm only going by what I heard during the highlights. Did he throw three picks in that game?
I didn't see much of it because I was busy recording MEQ, but
I think I heard he had thrown three picks.
Yeah, I can look right now.
Yeah, double check. I mean, if it's what I think it is, because that's what my friend Matt had said, that he had thrown three picks in that game.
Yeah,
but,
he threw three.
Okay. Now, he threw three in this game. He threw one last week, the week before. So in less than two games, he's thrown four picks. Now, I'm sorry. Look, I don't want to play Debbie Downer here, but this team is too good offensively and defensively for them not to succeed this year. And I'm sorry. Like I said, this is not a knock on Zach. I know he went second in the draft, but that don't mean nothing. I've seen first-round picks quarterbacks that have absolutely flopped, floundered, and sucked. So mm-hmm. we know that has happened. But if this team is, like everybody's predicting, like I said, I want to believe it, but I'm a realist after the way the Mets played this year. But anyway, it's just what it is. How many games do you logistically give him where he possibly could throw 2 to 3 picks a game and start to snowball, and then the next thing you know, you're 1-7, 1-8, and then you're basically screwed?
I'd say between 4 and 5.
You give him that many games?
Yeah. Because they're going to try to toughen it out with this kid.
Look, I'm all for giving the kid a chance. I get it. He has had some good – he's had games where he looks like he's unstoppable. But then he looks like games that, man, I wish Mark Sanchez was still quarterback in this team.
That's the thing. That's the thing with Zach Wilson. There's no in-between. When he's good, he's good. But when he's bad, he's really bad.
You know, I mean, it's just – when I look at him, I was listening to the fan today, and when I was out running my errands, and every caller that they called in, 90% of the calls have zero faith in Zach Wilson. Nothing. No faith whatsoever. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, I'm sorry. If the fan base loses faith, how long before ownership loses faith?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying that because it's my team. It's just – I'm saying that, you know, as a football fan, Zach Wilson is – he's not in the middle. He's like, yeah, he's good, solid, he's a little of this, he's a little of that. No, like you said before, he's either great or he flat out sucks. But the amount of times he sucked has surely outweighed the times he's been good. I don't think you'll disagree with me on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now – the Jets have been snake bit when it's coming to quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
There's only – I think Ronnie will attest to this. The Jets have only had two or three quarterbacks that you could really rely on, trust upon. And one was Joe Namath. Another one was Chad Pennington. And as much as I hate to say it, is old butt fumble Sanchez.
Denny Testaverde.
Like I said, I mean...
Sanchez did not... as much as people love Sanchez, he was not reliable.
But I'll tell you what, Sanchez has been a hell of a lot more reliable than Zach Wilson has been.
Because he played in a... Because again, the problem is... And I'll pull this up right now. Because I said this last week... And I'll say it again. I don't give a shit if this league has gone into, oh, we were a pass-happy league. We need to throw the ball 80 times a game. Stop. Zach Wilson went 12 for 17, one touchdown and a pick for 170 yards.
What, week one?
No, this week against the Cowboys.
No, he had three picks. He had three picks, though.
I said that.
No, you didn't. I didn't hear. I didn't hear.
I said three picks.
Okay.
And again, the one thing that creeped up on everybody that no one's gonna talk about is Christian. What do you always say? What about running quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks in the league, they don't succeed. I mean, come on. Let's be real here, guys. Name a time when you saw a running quarterback win a Super Bowl.
Yep, and I've said this, and I said this from the start too. But Wilson,
why do you think Lamar Jackson hasn't succeeded in the playoffs?
Yeah, but Wilson ran five times for 36 yards. He was the leading rusher.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Ronnie, since you stepped away, I asked this of Christian. How much rope do you give him, though? Logistically, I mean, take your fandom out. How long, if you're a ownership of a team and your quarterback is like this, how much rope do you give him before you say, it's not working, we got to make a change?
Week six. Week eight is the trade deadline. By week six, if there is nothing shown of improvement, if you're not 3-3 by week six or going out of week six, I'm sorry, you're trading for somebody or you're going out and finding somebody. You're going to find someone like a Kirk Cousins who Minnesota's not going to re-sign. And you sign off for the year. And you trade. It wouldn't cost anything on the books. It'd come off the books after next year. And then you have Rodgers back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. Because if you're 3-4, if by some chance you go 2-4 going into week seven, yeah, there should be no ifs, ands, or buts. You better be looking to get the next guy. And honestly, you probably only given up a fifth round draft pick to get Kirk Cousins.
Is there any free agents out there that you would consider signing as a backup?
No,
right now.
No, I would say Kirk Cousins or nothing. Because I'm not asking for BDN. I don't want Nick. I don't want fucking Kaepernick. I don't want fucking Brady, because Brady, God forbid, is a statue. I don't want Foles. I don't want, oh, goddamn, what's the other fucker's name?
Cam Newton.
No, Cam Newton can go piss up a rope right now. He's not.
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan is the only one out of the booth that you could see come in, which would be great, but he's the only one that really has anything. No, Philly's former quarterback.
Nick Foles.
No, the other one. The one that was on Washington last year.
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
Thank you. Yeah. That's it. Wentz, I don't want Wentz. I see you look for a guy that has a one-year expiring contract, and right now the only one that has a one-year contract that's expiring is the 0-2 Minnesota Vikings. And if the Vikings by week five look to punt, then we'll take Cousins, because Cousins is not – it's already been announced that they are not re-signing Cousins to Minnesota. So he will be a free agent at the end of this year.
Okay, here's my question. How good has Cousins been this year? Or how bad has he been this year?
With that offense and what that is, Cousins can get us to the playoffs. With how good with the receivers that they have there, Cousins can get us to the playoffs.
All right, my other one last little question is, like, what happened to the defense this week?
It's the Cowboys. Cowboys.
Like I said, I didn't see the game. I was at WrestleCon.
Cowboys might be the best team in the NFC. That defense is fucking harking back to the 60s. Doomsday defense. Like, they, honest to God, might be the best team in the league right now. Christian, am I far off from saying that?
I mean, don't forget San Francisco. See, here's the thing. Dallas's defense, they're Super Bowl caliber, right?
Yeah.
And they have been the last couple years. Like, honestly, John, you've heard me mention this name a bunch of times, Micah Parsons, right?
Yes, I have.
Micah Parsons was my pick to win Defensive Player of the Year. And the Cowboys use him just like the Giants used Lawrence Taylor 40 years ago. They line him up in multiple places. But my thing with Dallas is the only thing that's going to keep Dallas from getting from where they need to be, because you just don't know what version of their offense you're going to get. It seems like whatever's working for them, they get away from it. When they run the football, and when they continue to run it, it wears the defense down. They'll run the football down your throat, and then they build up a big lead. What are they doing? They're putting the ball in the hands of Dak Prescott, and he's not that quarterback that can generate a shootout. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
San Francisco, on the other hand, the one thing that Dallas has over San Francisco is their defense is full of athletes. San Francisco will wear you down and hit you physically. You got to bring the lunch pail with you when you play the San Francisco 49ers. But you know what, Ronnie and John and Ryan, I'll say this. We're going to see who's the best in a couple of weeks because Dallas and San Francisco play in week 5.
Yeah. No, I think that's going to be a battle of fucking defenses. But now, ever since McCarthy has been taking over the playbook for the offense, Dak has been solid.
Yeah, but look, the formula for Dak is simple. He can throw the ball no more than 30 times a game. Anytime over 30, they're going to lose because he's not that type of quarterback that can generate a shootout. Like,
no.
He's getting paid like he's won, but he's not. You know, I don't put him up there with the Mahomes and the Herberts and – the Josh Allens and the Joe Burrows. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't even think he's better than than Jalen Hurts.
I joke. I say the Cowboys are the NFC version of the Jets.
Yeah.
The quarterback is not what's going to win them a title, but that defense is going to be what keeps them in games.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I love what San Francisco brings to the table because San Francisco, their style of football travels, right? Like, you remember a couple years ago when they beat the Packers in Green Bay?
Yeah.
In the playoffs?
Yep.
It's because they were so physical at the point of attack. They can run the football. They can get dirty. They can get big in the trenches. And that's what you saw.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
All right, that's pretty much all I had. I just like because it was like I said, I didn't get to see the game, but I heard it was between that game I was hearing all about was the Giants game that I was hearing all about.
Oh, the Giants game was entertaining, but you were afraid going into the by halftime. It was oh shit, this is not looking. Thank you, Brenda. What's up, John?
Huh?
Oh, no, I thought you said something.
No. I just said it's like I still can't believe it. Like I said, my friend Matt was sitting next to me. He was giving me the scores. He goes, oh, my God, the Giants are coming back. Holy shit, the Giants won. And I'm like, they were losing 28-0 at the half, weren't they? Was it 28-0 at the half?
Yeah, no, it was 21-0.
I thought it was 20. Oh, well. I was off by one, but
six,
still.
Six quarters of scoreless football.
And how do they come back and actually win that fucking game? Christian, how does that happen?
lack of mental toughness. You know, unfortunately, a lot of teams, they have a tendency to get complacent, and games aren't 1.5. You have to keep your foot on the gas for 60 minutes. And I just have a feeling Brian Daboll, he lit into this Giants team, and they were able to just make those adjustments. That's what football is all about, John. The team that makes those necessary adjustments at the half, they're going to end up winning the game.
Yeah, so what was the mistake? Now, who did they play this week? I forget.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Cardinals. How did the Cardinals let that slip away?
Because the Cardinals are not a good team. Cardinals are considered one of the worst teams in football.
Is Kyler Murray still quartering for them?
He's hurt. He won't be back until at least, if he comes back at all this year, till week 10.
Wow.
Yeah, he got hurt the day before my birthday.
Yeah, maybe he should stay playing baseball. Maybe he could go play in Oakland. Still signed with that. He still has a contract with Oakland, I think.
Did the Yankees buy the rights to him? Or no, that was Russ.
No, they still own the rights to Russell Wilson.
but
he could still play for the Yankees if he chooses, though.
Yeah, that's another Tim Tebow moment. But all right, Ryan, guys, you ready to get into the picks?
Let's get into these.
What was the records for last week?
So right now, overall, John is still in last place with 20-12.
Oh, shit.
Well, in reality, though, you're only one game out from not being dead last. And me and Ryan are tied 21-11, and Christian, you're in the lead 22-10. You want to go overall? I went 11-5. Christian, you went 12-4. Ryan went 10-6. John, you went 12-4.
And I'm still in dead last.
Well, you made up a lot of ground because you were 9-7 last week during week one.
All right.
We were all pretty solid this week, so it's still a race. No one's, but John, I need your picks for division.
We'll talk tomorrow about it.
Okay.
We'll talk tomorrow. I'm not. I won't be able to figure. You'll have to run it down for me tomorrow. It's like,
that's
I can't.
Fine.
I'm not.
It's easier. It's easier to do it when I'm home then.
Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow.
Okay. First game, 8:15 Thursday tomorrow night. No Saquon Barkley playing. The Giants take on the 49ers. The 49ers are a 10.5-point favorite. The over/under is 44. Give me the Niners.
Niners.
Yeah, I like San Francisco as well. I just think this defensive line, they're going to overpower this Giants offensive front. I don't think the Giants have an answer to neutralize Nick Bosa. But if you're the Giants, you kind of take a page out of the Rams playbook, because the Rams were able to get some runs on San Francisco the other day. Did you realize that? The Rams were able to get some runs on San Francisco the other day. Did you see that, Ronnie? Like they were.
Yeah, but who are you going to hand the ball off to? No Barkley.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
where's Saquon
true.
This week? Where's Saquon
hurt,
this week?
Hurt. Out 3 weeks with an ankle sprain.
Oh, shit.
Hey, the good news is it's not high ankle. That's probably the best news out of everything. Ryan, who are you taking?
Niners.
Okay. And by the way, fuck the Rams. Motherfuckers kick a field goal to cover the spread. Go fuck yourself.
How do you really feel?
No, here's the thing. You're up 10. I get it. Like, you're not going to win the game. Why do you kick a field goal? Granted, I pushed the bet, but like still, you're not going to win. It was literally the last play of the game. You kick a fucking 47-yard field goal to get within 7. Like, that's somebody that knows the spread. Yeah. Fuck the Rams on that one. All right. Patriots take on the Jets. New England is a 2.5-point favorite. The over-under is 37. Yes, in a row.
Yeah, I wasn't going to use that joke, but ha-ha. Very funny, motherfucker.
Christian, who are you taking?
I like New England because, one, I just don't see the Patriots starting 0-3. Two, Bill Belichick always seems to prep his best game plan when it comes to playing the Jets. This is going to be an ugly, low-scoring, gritty football game. They're going to run the ball. They're going to double Garrett Wilson. They're going to force Zach Wilson to beat them. The Jets. The Jets are emotionally damaged right now, and New England could have came back, and they could have beat the Eagles in week one, and they gave Miami all they could handle in week two. But, yeah, I see the Patriots finally winning their first game on Sunday.
John, who are you taking?
My heart's in it, but I think Zach Wilson is just I got to go. New England.
Why's the F one?
Ryan.
Not Ryan.
It's something coming off of your end. I don't know. But anyway, who are you taking?
New England.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm going to go with the Jets, and I'll tell you why. If the Jets don't win this game, this actually might be the spot where if the Jets don't win this game, Wilson will be benched and they will be finding a new quarterback immediately, and Saleh could be getting fired.
I thought you were giving him until week six.
I said I would give him till week six. The organization, Woody Johnson, will not give him till week six if they lose to the Patriots. This game is a franchise breaker. If the Jets lose to the Patriots, first off, at home, it's not like they lost to them in New England. It's been 15 games in a row that they've lost to the Patriots.
Yeah, I remember the last time the Jets beat the Patriots. It was in 2015.
Yep. So you have to, honest to God, Breece Hall went out and put on Facebook that he only got 4 carries against Dallas. Well, Breece, time for you to be the workhorse and run the damn ball. Take the pitch counter off and let the horse run. I'm going with the Jets field goal. Jets win 20-17.
The fan in me wants to praise to God that they win, but it's just like...
Let's put it this way. For Saleh's sake and for Wilson's sake,
yeah.
For Zach's sake, they better win. If not, then shit's going to go south real quick.
Is he going to start seeing dead people like Darnell?
No, Darnold's a bastard case in his own right. All right, Tennessee Titans take on the Cleveland jerk-offs, the Browns. I got a laugh out of somebody there.
You got it out of Ryan, I think.
Yeah, the Titans take on the Browns. Cleveland, 3.5-point favorite, over-under is 39.5. There ain't no massage tables in the locker room for this one. Give me Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I'm going against you guys. I'm taking Cleveland. No, actually, you know what? I'm going to agree with you guys. I just thought about it. I'm taking Tennessee. Deshaun Watson looks shaky at best. Now he doesn't have his security blanket in Nick Chubb. I think this could be a big day for Derrick Henry. I like the Titans.
And here's the thing. Right now, the weather says in Cleveland at 1 o'clock, rain.
Oh, beautiful.
All right, 1 o'clock on Fox. Going to Detroit. The 2-0 Falcons take on the 1-1 Detroit Lions. Lions are a 3-point favorite. The over-under is 46. The Falcons barely got out of the home with a win against Green Bay. And now we get to see what Desmond Ridder does on the road. The Lions shouldn't have lost to Seattle. Give me Detroit.
Detroit.
Who is it?
Detroit, Hotlanta. Detroit, the Lions or the Falcons?
No. I know who you're talking about. I'm just trying to think.
Oh, okay.
Now, right?
Yep, 2-0. Lions are 1-1.
What's the spread?
3 to Detroit. Pretty much even on a neutral field.
Give me Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm with Ryan. I'm taking Atlanta here. Detroit looked a little vulnerable on the defensive side of the ball, and I think Bijan Robinson could have a big day for the Falcons. This Falcons team looks old school. They want to run that football down your throat.
Yep. Well, they really didn't use Bijan as much as they should have against the Packers, and it showed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, speaking of the Packers, the Saints go into Lambeau to take on the Pack Attack. Packers are a 2-point favorite, and the over-under is 42.5. Christian, sorry. Who are you taking?
Oh, that's an insult.
You disrespectful.
Christian, who are you taking?
I like the Saints because defense travels, and I think this defense is going to throw a lot at Jordan Love. It's Jordan Love's first game at Lambeau as the official starting quarterback. The Packers aren't going to have Aaron Jones once again, and I hope he doesn't try to force himself to come back, because you try to come back and force yourself back on the field with those hamstring injuries, it's not going to pan out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm taking Nollins.
I'll take Nollins, too.
Yep.
All right. The Denver Broncos go into Hard Rock Stadium to take on the Miami Dolphins. Miami's a 6.5-point favorite. Over-under is 48. Give me the Dolphins.
Dolphins.
I like Miami. I just think they have way too much team speed. And across the board, defensively, they're going to get after Russell Wilson. This offense, look, Denver's offense might keep you in the game, but who are they putting to stop Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, exactly. Brian, who are you taking?
Who are we talking?
Miami, Denver.
Oh, give me Miami.
All right. The Chargers take on the Vikings. It's an even spread. Over-under is 54. The Chargers look awful. This is going to be in Minnesota. Hit the drums. Sound the horn. Give me the Vikings.
Minnesota.
Skull.
Yep. Christian.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I don't trust that Los Angeles defense. And I think this is going to be a shootout. I could see this being one of the higher scoring games of the day. I'm taking Minnesota. Because, like I said about Denver and Miami, I don't think the Chargers have that answer for anyone on Justin Jefferson outside of J.C. Jackson.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. All right, 1 o'clock, CBS. Oh, this game on paper seems very interesting, but this game could get very ugly really quick. The Buffalo Bills take on the Washington Commanders. Buffalo's a 6.5-point favorite. The over-under is 43.5. Christian, you are writing about this. Give me your keys to the game.
Has Buffalo finally found balance? Because, Ronnie, what have I been calling for with the Buffalo Bills and their offense? Stop relying on the quarterback to do everything. And, look, I was smiling like a proud dad who just learned his son got laid watching the Buffalo Bills run the football. 17 carries, 143 yards for James Cook. Did they find their balance, and did they find that consistency? Only time will tell. Washington, they're 2-0. That's a huge win for them on the road in Denver the other day. The key matchup in this game is that Buffalo offensive line against this Washington front, because this Washington front can give Josh Allen a lot of problems. They have to keep him in the pocket, make him a pocket passer, contain him, lots of wide nine. Pressure him up the middle, flush him to the left side of the pocket, force him to throw off that back foot. I previewed this one on Friday.
Yeah, as much as Buffalo is the right way, I really think the Commanders' defense is starting to get, but unfortunately, it's not about what happens back in the past. It's what happens now. Buffalo got its groove back. Give me the Bills, but I do not think they cover.
I'll take the Bills, too.
Yep, Buffalo.
Circle the wagons and go Buff. All right, the next game, I'm going to fall asleep during this game. The Texans take on the Jaguars. The Jaguars are a 9.5-point favorite. Give me Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I like Jacksonville. I think they bounce back here. Lots of Travis Etienne in this game. Lots of Calvin Ridley. Little bit of Evan Ingram. Spread the ball around to Zay Jones and Christian Kirk. You know, I think this Jacksonville defense, they're going to be ready. Houston's tough, but Jacksonville's just better.
Yeah. Brian, you taking Jags too?
I think we lost them.
Right.
What?
Oh, there you are.
Jacksonville.
Okay. You going to take Tony Khan's father after checking on John Moxley?
Snort the line.
Snort the goal line after getting dropped on your head.
Just about the numbers, my man.
The Colts, the Battle of Baltimore. The Colts take on the Ravens. Baltimore is a 7.5-point favorite. No center. It looks like no OBJ for this game. Give me the Colts in the upset.
I'm going to go with the Ravens on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take Baltimore here. I don't know if the Colts have enough firepower at the major skill positions to hang with Baltimore. Like, Baltimore is going to turn this into a shootout. I don't know if Anthony Richardson is going to be playing. It's looking like Gardner Minshew is going to be the starting quarterback for the Colts. Baltimore keeps it rolling.
Yeah. Baltimore is good. Yeah.
Richardson might be playing if he gets through protocol.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out. All right. Oh, Jesus Christ. The Panthers take on the Seahawks. Seahawks are 6-point favorite. Over-under is 42. Another game I'll fall asleep during. Give me Seattle.
Seattle.
This is Seattle and Carolina.
Yep.
Yeah, I like Seattle here.
Yeah, Seattle.
Oh, are you ready for the worst 4 o'clock block ever? You have that. Now you have the Bears versus the Chiefs.
Patty Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say the spread, Patty. Yeah. Fields might be the worst player in the league because of the people that are coaching him. Kansas City wins, and they win big. It's the over-under is 12.5 for Kansas City. They win
big.
Yeah,
is this the game where the Chiefs' offense finally wakes up? Because they scored 20 in week one against the Lions, and last week was a game they had to grind out against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You saw the difference having Chris Jones make on that defense. I like Kansas City. Like, the Bears just aren't a good football team right now.
Yep. And then another snooze fest. The Dallas Cowboys take on the Arizona Cardinals. Cowboys are a 12-point favorite, and the over-under is 43. Oh, my God. How about them Cowboys? Holy shit.
Give me the Cowgirls. Give me the Cowgirls.
Yeah, Dallas is going to keep it moving. Lots of running the ball. Dak is going to have a solid first half. I don't see him playing much in the second half of this one.
Cowgirls or the Cardinals?
Cowboys.
All right, now we get into a good game. Get the sound clip ready, Brian, because the Steelers take on the Raiders. Raiders are a 2.5-point favorite.
I'm going Steelers. I'm sorry. I told Raider Dave to take the night off.
John.
Steel curtain.
Christian.
I'm taking the Steelers. I don't trust this Raiders defense. It's going to be the trio on this Pittsburgh offense. Kenny Pickett, George Pickens, and Najee Harris. If those three can get it going, it's going to be a long night for the Raiders defense.
Yeah, give me Pitt. I think Pitt is a better is a better team than they've been putting on right now. I think Pickett gets back in order and they run the score up on Vegas. No Raider Dave tonight.
Is it not a crime to bleed black and silver Raider Dave?
Now we go into Monday night. The Eagles, the Eagles, are 5-point favorites against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then Tampa, over-under is 46. Baker is actually reading calls from the sideline of the other team before he gets into snaps, and he's apparently figuring out what everyone's calling. I hate to say it. Eagles eat a loss here. Tampa Bay wins.
Yeah, I'll take Tampa Bay. Fuck the Eagles.
I previewed this one today on the site. The Eagles are 2-0, but they're not dominant like they were last year. And it's one thing when a team loses one offensive coordinator, but they lost their offensive and defensive coordinator. And I remember Ronnie making a point about this during the offseason. And you see that they're still trying to get in tune with both the new offensive and defensive coordinator. But I love what I saw from the Eagles last week against Minnesota because they were able to pound that rock. They were able to run that football until Minnesota could stop it, which they couldn't. Tampa Bay, to me, is the most surprising 2-0 team in the league. Yeah, they beat Minnesota. Yeah, they beat the Chicago Bears. But I don't think a lot of people expected them to be in this position. Tom Brady just retired. Look at everything they were able to accomplish when he was there. The two division titles, the playoff appearances, the Super Bowl appearance, and the Super Bowl championship at that too. Now, all they need from Baker Mayfield is to not lose the game. Just kind of manage things. And how about Mike Evans? It really doesn't matter who's throwing him that ball. He's going to make plays nonetheless. I think this is going to be a tough game for Tampa Bay. I like the Eagles, and I think it'll be a lot closer than a lot of people are anticipating.
Ron, I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Oh, I said Eagles.
Okay. And finally, the 8:15 game. Followed up by one of the worst renditions of coming in the air tonight. The LA Rams take on the 0-2 Cincinnati Bengals. Cincy's a 2.5-point favorite. This is in Cincinnati. Unfortunately, I don't know if Joe Burrow is going to be walking through that door and putting on the pads for this game. He's got a strained calf muscle. And if that sounds familiar, that usually leads to unchecked to an ruptured Achilles. Same issue that Kevin Durant had. Same issue Aaron Rodgers had. I don't think he's playing in this game. And with that being said, if he's not playing in this game, give me the Rams.
Oh,
it's a must-win game for the Cincinnati Bengals, but you see, they lost their two best secondary players. They lost Von Bell, and they lost Jesse Bates. And you're seeing the impacts that both of those guys have. But I think they win this one because I don't think the Rams are that good of a team. There's nobody on the Rams that scares me outside of Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and I already know Cincy for Ryan. Don't have to hesitate for that one because he'll never take the Rams.
No. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah. Cincinnati. And those are our picks. Oh, Jesus Christ. Been an interesting show today.
A little bit.
To say
yeah.
The least.
But, all right, we ready to bring this into the station?
We are.
Yeah.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, that is our show. If you like what you heard, please follow us on our social media accounts under the Nerdport Network. Follow us individually on Twitter at Ethanroni.
At the Zombie Master.
At Daily Blitz _ 61. Monday evening quarterback every Monday night on Spotify, YouTube, Twitch, Blog Talk Radio, and the Nerdport Network.
At Stuntcock STL.
And join us back here on Monday as we dive into, as myself and Christian dive into the world of sports again as we talk about what caught our eye for Monday evening quarterback.
Can't wait.
Yep. And obviously join us back here every Wednesday as we dive deep into the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the what the fuck of the wide world of sports and sports betting. Join us Monday live for, I guess, we don't have the name for the movie review show, but we're bringing back season 2 of Misfit Toy Collectors very soon, so keep your eye out for that. Keep your eye on Twitter for all of this. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. If you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you did not like what you hear,
go fuck yourself.
Tell your enemies. Until then, always remind them that there's always a teachable moment. Bobby Bonilla is getting paid, and if you don't believe me, well, then hell, that's just a fact of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Good night, everybody.